Church, will you pray the Lord's Prayer with me? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When Jesus got into the boat, his disciples followed him. A windstorm suddenly arose on the sea, so great that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he, Jesus, was asleep. They went and woke him up, saying, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. They were amazed, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" When he came to the other side, to the region of the Gadarenes, two men possessed by demons came out of the tombs and met him. They were so fierce that no one could pass that way. Suddenly they shouted, "What have you to do with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a large herd of swine was feeding at some distance from them. The demons begged him, "If you cast us out, send us into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out and entered the swine, and suddenly the whole herd stampeded down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the water. The swineherds ran off, and going into the town, they told the whole story about what had happened to the men possessed by demons. And then the whole town came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they begged him to leave their region. And after getting into the boat, he crossed the sea again and came back to his own town. So someone comes to Jesus and says, "I want to follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replies by saying, "Are you sure? Have you really thought it through? Have you counted the cost? Really taking stock of all the ways that the journey of discipleship is going to really, really challenge you? Are you sure you want to be with me?" Jesus asks us. And Matthew doesn't waste any time showing us what Jesus is getting at. Immediately after saying this, Jesus gets into a boat with his disciples, and they go out on the Sea of Galilee, and they run into one of the worst storms they've ever encountered in their life. "Are you sure you want to be my followers? Because I'm going to put you in a boat, and we're going to go right into the eye of the storm. It's okay if you want to take a minute and think about it." This storm is so bad that some of the people in the boat are fishermen. It's their job to be in a boat on the Sea of Galilee pretty much every day. And even they think the storm is bad, which tells you how bad the storm is. We know this story pretty well. It plays well at VBS. It would translate pretty well into a movie scene. That has probably happened before, I would think. Jesus calms the storm, and then once that disaster and once that nightmare is over, they land at shore, and as soon as they land in this one particular spot in which these two demon-possessed men confront Jesus and begin shouting at him. And these two demon-possessed men are very much a real threat. The rest of the village has decided those two guys can just have that part of town. We don't want to go anywhere near them. We cannot subdue them. We cannot control them. We cannot do anything to stop the terror that they are in our community. So we're just going to give them their space. As soon as Jesus says, "Are you sure you want to be my follower? Are you sure you can handle it?" Matthew shows us, yeah. The challenge is real. The things that will frighten you to death are real. Now, these two stories together are meant to be a pair. In Matthew and Mark and Luke, these two stories occur back to back. These three, John is doing his own thing, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke, these three storytellers cannot conceive of either one of these stories without the other one. We like the calming the storm story. We're more familiar with that one, a little bit less familiar with the demon-possessed men story. But for Matthew, for the Gospels, these stories are meant to be told together at the same time. We often read the Bible in these little short chunks, and we kind of read a paragraph, or we read until the next section heading, and then even if we keep reading, something in our mind says, okay, it's a different story now. Something else is going on. There has been a break with what came before. Now something different is happening. Matthew doesn't want us to do that. Matthew wants us to read these two stories together, and they are a good pair when you put them together. Both stories about Jesus finding himself, he and his disciples, in a moment of chaos. And these stories are one of the gospel's ways of preaching this core sermon, Jesus is master over the chaos. It obeys him. When Jesus comes up against the chaos loses every time. That's not the only thing that makes these two stories a good pair. Another, something I've been sitting with for this week is how loud both of these stories are. Yes, Jesus is asleep. Apparently, he really can sleep through anything, but his disciples cannot, and they are indignant that Jesus could sleep through something so dangerous, so loud. And then after the storm, as Jesus comes to shore and is confronted by these two demon-possessed men, they are loud. They begin shouting at him, "Why are you here, Son of God? What do you want with us? Have you come to torment us? If so, send us into the pigs. Matthew doesn't tell us how many pigs there are, but Mark does. 2,000. And I love this question. Is it one demon per pig? Are we talking about 2,000 demons? Or is 2,000 pigs worth of demons not exactly the same number of demons? These are the things I think about. Matthew doesn't give us that number, but for the sake of painting a picture, let's go with Mark's number. 2,000 pigs worth of demons stampeding down a bank into the shore of the Mediterranean Sea where they drown. What does that sound like? You think maybe that would be the most horrific sound you've ever heard in your life? Here we have these two incredibly loud stories, a loud storm, loud demons. And the demons just talk and talk and talk. And Jesus lets them. They talk and they shout and they make demands. And in both cases, Jesus is not pulled into the drama or the panic. He speaks to the storm, and there is, as Matthew calls it, a great calm. And when the demons speak and shout and won't stop shouting at Jesus, and they finally make their request, send us into the pigs, Jesus says one word, not just one word, one syllable. Go. Not only does chaos lose when it comes up against Jesus, Jesus does not have to match its volume. Jesus does not have to panic about it. All he needs is a good little nap on the boat and a one-syllable word. And at the restful and calm presence of Jesus, chaos tucks its tail and runs. Are you familiar with the saying that all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room by himself? All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room by himself. I am inclined to agree with that on any given day. But here in Matthew chapter 8, look at what is accomplished with a nap and a one-syllable word. Look at what happens to chaos and panic and evil when Jesus enters the story with rest and calm. This is why he told us up on the mountain, don't worry about your life. God is so happy to take care of you. God wouldn't know how to not take care of you. Jesus can tell us, do not worry, because that's exactly where he's coming from. From a place of zero worry, from a place of full trust that the power of God and the peace of God can subdue whatever commotion and whatever disorder and whatever conflict is making us want to panic. Jesus is not afraid of it in the least. He is not worried about it in the least, and so he can say, "Don't worry. You are so abundantly okay, I promise. God has got you." This is what Jesus offers, and this is not only what he offers, but this is what Jesus is doing in the world to be peace. In the middle of all of our conflict and all of our chaos. There's a problem, though. The rest of the villagers hear about what happened with the demons and the pigs. And as soon as they get word of this, they come to the scene. They can come back to this part of town now. And that's great. Except when they see Jesus, they don't throw him a party. They don't celebrate him or congratulate him. And they don't say thank you. They tell him to leave. And in one way, it makes no sense at all. He just did you a big solid. He just saved your town from something you were deathly afraid to take care of on your own. You had no idea how to take care of it on your own. And Jesus came, and in 5 seconds, the problem is gone. Why are you asking him to leave? It doesn't make sense. Although, maybe it does make perfect sense. Because all of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room by himself. Jesus, how dare you come and take away all the noise and all the conflict and our ability to panic about it. Jesus, we don't want your rest and your calm. Jesus, I don't want you to come into my life and make things quiet. I want to keep scrolling on my phone, technology which is programmed to hijack your brain, I promise. I want to keep watching the news and let them give me 100 things every day that I need to be scared of. Jesus, I don't want your rest and your quiet and your calm. Please leave. Because as scary as the storm was, and as scary as the demons were, and all the noise it created in my life, and all the commotion, and all the conflict, and all the chaos, Jesus, I assure you, being still and silent is scarier. Please don't ask me to do it. Question that Jesus gives his disciples is a good one. Why are you afraid? Why does my presence offer you so little rest, and so little calm. Why are you afraid, you little faiths, you adorable little faiths? The good news is, Jesus teaches us how to pray. And the Psalms teach us how to pray. And the quiet makes us so uncomfortable. But Jesus and the Psalms are going to continue to teach us how to pray ourselves into the quiet where God is waiting for us. So we began this morning about an hour ago with this breath prayer from Psalm 62. We prayed it for about 2 minutes, and we're going to do it again. Because Jesus is here to heal us of our fear of the quiet. He is here to heal us of our addiction to conflict. He has brought us into the middle of the storm, and he has brought us to the shore of the demons. He has told the demons, go. And he has told the storm, peace, be still. So let us respond to Jesus right now with this breath prayer again. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for meeting us here. Please give us your rest and your calm and continue to give us your rest and your calm until we are truly at rest in you. This is our prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So from Acts chapter 2, when the crowds heard this, they were cut to the heart and they began asking Peter and the apostles, "Brethren, what can we do in response?" Peter said, "Repent. Put yourself on this journey with Jesus in which he changes your heart in all the ways that he wants. Repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, for the gift of the Holy Spirit." This gift, it's and this promise, it's for you, it's for your kids, it's for everyone far away, everyone that the Father is calling to himself. If you're here today and ready to be baptized, ready to be with Jesus, who will wander right into the storm with you and bring all his rest and all his calm with him, if you're ready to be baptized into him and belong to him unconditionally, come forward. And if there's any way in which this church can be a blessing to you today, please come forward while we stand and sing.